Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, that's getting better. That's getting better. Well, good to see you all here this morning. I just want to say on behalf of my wife and I, thank you for all the wonderful cards and gifts and best wishes during Christmas. We really, really appreciate it and appreciate you all. This is wonderful to be here with you this morning. And before I get going, let's open up in prayer. Father, be with us this morning, Lord. Be in our midst. Lord, speak in and through your word. Thank you that we can come into your house and worship you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We give this service to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's that time of the year again when in a fit of optimism, many of us make great promises to ourselves and maybe to others that we are going to do something great this year, right? Maybe it is a new and improved diet for some, or perhaps it is some exercise plan, or maybe a gym membership, or perhaps you are going to start painting, maybe making crafts, maybe fixing up that old car sitting in your garage that's collecting dust. I don't know what it is for many of you, but maybe that's what it is. But sadly, statistics that say that upwards to 80% of people don't follow through with their New Year's resolutions. You know, the second week of January, believe it or not, sometimes they wrap them all up. They're all done. So let's be honest right now. In the past, how many of you kept up with your diet? Don't put your hand up. I don't want you to get embarrassed here. How many of you actually kept the exercise plan maybe into February? Maybe. And how many of you actually followed through with your New Year's resolution of last year? And I think if many of us are honest here today, we didn't do that. Well, this year for me, it is going to be different. And this is my New Year's resolution. I have decided to eat more, maintain or possibly gain weight, and exercise less. And I know for a fact I can follow through with all these things. Hey, amen, brother. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, here are some dad jokes today to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. What is a New Year's resolution? Something that goes in one year and out the other. It's okay, you can laugh here. It's all right. These are dad jokes. On New Year's Eve, why did the man stand on one leg at midnight? He wanted to start the year off on the right foot. Okay, you know, dad jokes are terrible, aren't they? All right. What did the woman say when she was offered a raisin at New Year's Eve? No thanks, I already have a date. One more, I promise you, one more. And this is it. I always visit my local tire shop on New Year's. Then I know it will be a good year. All right. Title of today's message, it's a new year, praise God. It's a new year, praise God. When I lived in Saskatchewan, you know, we were missionaries in Saskatchewan. We met many wonderful people, had just a wonderful ministry there. So thankful for the opportunity to serve there. But we met one character, and he was quite an individual. His name was Rod Fullerton. And he was the type of guy that, believe it or not, when he was younger, he would pull his truck up on a trap line, and he would get out of his truck. And I said, what would you take with you? And he said, a little backpack with a little change of clothes, a coil of sausage, a block of cheese, and a gun. And I said, how long would you go in? He goes, 2 weeks. I go, what would you eat? And he goes, the sausage and the cheese, and whatever else I killed. He was that type of guy, rugged outdoorsman. But he used to say this all the time. He said, you're living in the Gap province. And I go, Gap province? What do you mean by that? He goes, well, Saskatchewan's the Gap province, meaning nothing special, no one talks about it, and it has no time change, and when you drive through it, people can't wait to get through it. Get through it, that's it. And that's him telling me this. Well, I believe there are many here thinking the exact same thing when talking about this year, 2025, truthfully. You see, they're thinking, I can't wait till it's over, and I don't want to hit the repeat button on this year. Maybe you had a bad year and things didn't go your way. Or perhaps it was financially stretching this year for you. Or maybe you had suffered a loss of a loved one, friend, family member, what have you. Or maybe it was a year you just want to forget. Maybe. Well, I found this quote. It was in Today in the World, September 10th, 1992. And it was this. It was titled this. Hopefully your 2026 is not like former heavyweight boxer James Quick Tillis. James Tillis is a cowboy from Oklahoma who fought out of Chicago in the early 1980s. He still remembers his first day in the Windy City after his arrival from Tulsa. I got off the bus with two cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago and stopped in front of the Sears Tower. I put my suitcases down and I looked up at the tower and I said to myself, I'm going to conquer Chicago. When I looked down, the suitcases were gone. So if you haven't already guessed here this morning, I will be talking about new years, new mindsets, and new beginnings. As we heard the scripture here this morning, found in Philippians 3, 13 to 17, and then on from 3, 20 to 4, 1. I want to read it again, and I want it just to implant into our hearts and just prepare us for this message. So let's read it again together. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward or reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Point number one, forget those things which are behind. Philippians 3:13, again, look at that verse up on the screen. Look in your Bibles. I encourage you, get your pens out, get your pencils, markers, what have you. Start on underlining. It's a wonderful thing. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward or reaching forward to what lies ahead. What are some things in your life right now worth forgetting about, truthfully? How about the bad things that have happened to you, the hurts, the failures, the stupid decisions, the gossip you've been caught up in, the disappointments, and those pesky sins that keep haunting your life? What about them things? This is what the Bible directs us to do with our sins and our mistakes. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, forgetting those things which are behind, sometimes we have difficulties with that, forgetting. You see, they kind of continue to come up. And I have dealt with countless people that really, truly struggled with the forgiveness of God. They did, and they do. You see, there is one issue we all have. Often, we will sit and ponder, lament, even fret about all the terrible things that have happened to us and perhaps the terrible things that we have done to others. My question to you today is, have you made some of them terrible things right that you have done to others? I remember when I was newly saved, I spent so much time, because I was such a bad person, that I called and I visited, and you name it, I did it. I went to people's homes and I said to them right to their face when I was newly saved, forgive me. Forgive me for the things I did to you, the things I said to you. I went to guys that I bet up bad, and I went to them and I said, forgive me for what I did to you. You see, a lot of times we hold on to things because we never ask for forgiveness. And you see, often the enemy of our souls wants us not to forget. Then he can do that job in our lives. He can derail us. He can make us ineffective as a Christian. He can say, okay, I'm going to continue to bring this up so that you are going to be so discouraged that you do nothing for the Lord. And you see, God wants to use us for his glory, his honor, and his praise. He wants us to forget. C.S. Lewis wrote, every uncorrected error and unrepented sin is in its own right a fountain of fresh error and fresh sin flowing on to the end of time. We don't want that. We don't want to carry that. We want to confess it and move on. First thing to note is, if you are a child of God and are born again, then your sins are forgiven. That's found in Psalm 103:12. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. I believe that. I truly believe that. And then I also believe in Isaiah 1:18. And it says this, and this is the cleansing power of God in our lives. And we cannot forget this. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as what? Snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like what? Wool. Snow and wool are pretty white, right? So back to starting off a new year by forgetting. Sometimes we are guilty of these things. Fretting about blessings, forgetting about blessings and achievements, revival meetings, baptisms, seeing these things happen, salvations, successful VBS programs, successful youth group programs and outreaches, anniversaries and milestones, the birth of new babies, wonderful testimonies, family members getting saved and hearing about people getting their lives right with Jesus. We forget about them things because the enemy of our soul wants us to forget about them things and concentrate on the negative. My buddy and co-worker in Christ named Joel the Merchant, him and I ministered together for many years. I'll never forget it. We went to this place called Murray's Restaurant, and we prayed for his son for many, many years. His son went wayward, got into a drug-addicted and alcohol-induced lifestyle. He was doing just about everything evil you could imagine. And he told me that his oldest son ended up getting his life right with Jesus, and his girlfriend that he had at the time got saved as well. Well, he told me that he stood up at Harvest House Ministries, Plaster Rock in New Brunswick, got up and he preached a message like no other messages. He said people were just moved to tears and they were moved to repentance listening to him. All the while, the two of us had tears dripping down our cheeks in joy and praise to Jesus. You know, people are sitting there staring at us and we're just rejoicing in the Lord, saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you did in Joel's son and his girlfriend's lives. You see, they were forgetting those things which are behind. The enemy wants to keep us there, wants to keep us in bondage, but they were forgetting those things which are behind. You see, the Apostle Paul, we know that if he were to think of all the terrible things that he did, you know, allowing Christians to be killed, holding jackets while other people kill them. You know, if he were to live there, then he wouldn't be the guy that could write this book, truly. He'd be saying, that's all I think about. It's the terrible things I've done. And now he's saying, forgetting about those things that are behind. You see, point number two is this. This year, you need to have a new perspective and goals. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, found in Philippians 3:14, I press on towards the goal. Do you hear that word, goal? Underline it in your Bible. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What does goal in verse 14 mean here? Well, it means the finish line. In other words, it is the end of the race for the man or woman that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 4:7 when he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He got to the goal line. He finished, and he finished well. Let me ask you something here this morning. I know you're making plans right now for renovations, trips down south, to purchase a new home or car, maybe buying a new camper, cottage, a shopping trip with the girls, a hunting and fishing trip with the boys. You know, sometimes we have the wrong goals. Sometimes we have goals that totally consume our minds and our thoughts, truthfully. You see, our goal should be the upward call of God. You know, it can either be seen as the rapture or the death of the saint that knows Jesus. You see, we need to daily seek the Lord Jesus Christ in his directions. You see, if we let him guide and direct us, let him do the work in our lives, and we know we're going to be making the right decisions. We need to walk close with him so that when that call happens, we are ready for eternity. You see, we need to be ready for eternity. We need to know that we are saved. We need to know that we are, in fact, born again, that we are displaying the fruits of the Spirit in our life, and that we are doing something for Jesus. We're actually doing something for him. We're glorifying him in our walks and in our lives. We are ready for eternity and ready to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to walk in him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says this, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So Christian, my question to you is this, how did 2025 go for you? Did you blow it? Did you blow it? Did you just waste it away in worry and anxiousness? Did you bring reproach to the name of Jesus? Did you show your family, your coworkers and neighbors a lack of faith or no faith at all? Did you ruin your testimony before the unsaved? These are all really good questions to ask. And if you answered yes to one or perhaps all of these questions, then from this moment on, you need to apply Philippians 3:13 to your life and start today by forgetting those things which are behind and have a new outlook and press towards the goal, Philippians 3:14. And how do we do that? Well, Colossians 2:6 that I just read said, walk in him. Walk close to Jesus. You can tell when someone's not walking close to Jesus. Do you know how? You will see their lack of commitment in just about everything. Bible reading, church, prayer. They'll fill their bucket with just about everything outside of Christ. And that's sad. So what am I trying to do with you all this morning? I'm biblically reprogramming your mind and your heart this morning. And that leads us to our third point. Point number three. Start today to glorify God in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Pastor, how can I bring glory to God? Start in the small things, the little things. There was one time, I'll never forget it, I was asked to preach in a church in Knox Ridge Baptist. Well, it was Knox Ridge, Maine, USA. And they called me up and they said, come on down and preach. So we loaded up the kids, and Micah wasn't with us yet. He wasn't born yet. It was the other two. And we went down there to preach at Knox Ridge Baptist Church, and we stayed at a cottage in Belfast, Maine. You can look it up. It's right on the coast. Beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful setting. And we were looking for a place to eat. We found this beautiful little restaurant right on the wharf, right down where the water and boats and everything were. We went in there, and I remember we were sitting with the kids. There were quite a few people there. And our food came, it was set before us, and we were new to the faith, only a couple of years, Christians. And I remember holding hands with the kids and Cindy, and we prayed, we bowed our heads, and we said, okay, now let's pray, kids. And we prayed over our food. We said, in Jesus' name. And you know, when I pray at a restaurant, it's usually not in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name. That's how I finish. I make sure everybody knows that I'm praying for Jesus. And the food, obviously, but praying in Jesus' name. And anyway, when I said that, I'll never forget it. This elderly couple came up to us. They actually thanked us. They said, thank you. I said, what for? They're like, thank you for displaying your faith and your thankfulness and your praise to Jesus. It really spoke to our hearts. And to see a young couple doing that today, they're like, man, oh man, what a blessing that was to us. So, how do you start living by a higher calling today? Well, share a word of encouragement or testimony with someone. We went on probably 4 mission trips to New York City. We did inner city evangelism and outreach, and we were on the subways and on the streets and in Manhattan, and we went to all the boroughs, you know, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, all of them. Anyway, we had a little bit of a course we had to take before we went down so we weren't shot or stabbed or what have you. So we went through this course, and they showed us how to evangelize. We were like, how do we evangelize? Like, how do we do this that, you know, we're not an offense, but we can share Christ quickly because people are on the move there. You can imagine a busy city. So they said the 1 minute or the 30-second testimony. And we practiced it. We actually went through our testimonies. We'd write it down. We'd go through it in our head real quick. And we'd say, you know, when we were saved, how we were saved, and, you know, and bring glory to Jesus Christ, like in 30 seconds, because that's all you had with people. And, you know, sometimes that's a blessing for you and I to practice for someone that we meet at the mall, on the street, or what have you, that we have that 30-second or 1-minute testimony down packed that we can share our faith in that amount of time. Honor the Great Commission call. Let the world know you follow Jesus Christ. Do they know? Do they know that you follow Jesus? You might be thinking here this morning, live by a higher calling. What does the Bible mean by that? Well, Philippians 3:20 tells us, it says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know about you, but this old sinful earth is not my home. It's not my home. My citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Amen? I'm only passing through. You know, I live in a bungalow here. I do. I live in a bungalow. My wife and I. I'm sorry, I'm not excluding you. She lives with me too. Things are good. Our marriage is fine. What are you laughing at? All's good. She lives with me. All right. I live in a bungalow here too, but Jesus said, a mansion awaits us. Amen? Where's that found? John 14, 1-3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. The King James Version says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Man, what a blessing that's going to be, amen? Amen. What a hope we have in Jesus Christ, amen? Amen? James Packer, your father loves you, wrote this: "You know very little about heaven, but I once heard a theologian describe it as an unknown region with a well-known inhabitant. And there is not a better way to think of it than that. Richard Baxter expresses the thought this way: my knowledge of that life is small, the eye of faith is dim, but it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. To those who have learned to love and trust Jesus, the prospect of meeting him face to face and being with him forever is a hope that keeps us going, no matter what life throws at us." You see, I don't know what your 2026 is going to look like. Maybe it's going to be rugged for you, tough. Maybe. Maybe it's going to be one of the best years of your life. Maybe. But I can tell you this: when you place your trust in Jesus, in his promises, everything is better. Our citizenship is in heaven, not in the world. We are aliens. Do you know that? We are. I'm not talking little green, big-headed guys. We're aliens. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners, nomads, living in a strange and foreign land, awaiting our heavenly home. What must we do during our temporary stay here on earth? Well, that question leads us to our final point, point number four. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Get to work for Jesus. That's truly what that's saying. Don't let a day go by where you're not doing something for the Lord. Don't be a to and fro Christian. Don't waver in your faith all the time. Stay focused and press towards the mark, the goal, the finish line. Always have that in mind. And in Hebrews 12, 2-3, it says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself." Now listen to this: "So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Don't grow weary. Don't grow faint-hearted. Trust in the Lord. Follow him. Put him first. Put him on the throne of your life. Christians, don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Don't be a quitter. Christ didn't quit the cross for you, so don't quit the faith on him. So to finish today, worship team, elders, come forward. Let us commit together to confess and forget our sins that so easily derail us. Let us commit together to walk closer to Jesus and to keep on track with the Lord. Let us not forget our verses here today in Philippians 3:13-14, when it says this: "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. God bless you and your family. Happy New Year to you. And just know that if you are not saved here today, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then what's hindering you? What's stopping you? You see, the Bible makes it clear: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's not one person here that hasn't sinned, and that's not a sinner. We are sinners. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of ourself. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't. You need to trust in Jesus Christ. Place your trust in him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws. I've broken your commands. And I want to make things right between me and you right now. And Lord, I know the only way I can do it is by confessing what I have done wrong. I've offended you. And I want to make it right. Father God, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for our sins. Lord, thank you for offering us salvation. And thank you for the promise of forgiveness. Lord, to know that you will wash away our sins. And Lord, they're not to be talked about again. What a promise we have in you, Lord. And Lord, if there's someone here that's struggling with ongoing, perpetual sin, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would deliver them this day. Help them to turn over that new leaf, confess their sin, get the help they need, Lord, to conquer this sin, this demon that is haunting their life. Lord, you will help them with that as well. Lord, thank you for everyone here. Bless them, be with them, and encourage them. Let them know that they're loved and cared for and that you died for them. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we give this year to you, this coming year. Lord, use us for your glory, your honor, and your praise. In Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.